We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jermaine is an impressive young man. He's got some really good guys around him. I think they're going to help him continue to grow. And I will say this, I think he's got a really good position coach in Bob Babich Sr. I was with Bob when we were in Chicago, and we had Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs. And Bob told me this guy's a combination of both of them, and that's kind of cool to hear. But it was kind of neat firsthand to watch it. We ran a screen against them. It looked like he was going to pick up some pretty good yardage, and he was able to break through and run it down and keep it about 4 yards. I think the young man is well on his way to being one of those types of players that can be with a team for 10, 12 years and be an impact guy for a long time.
That is Carolina Panthers coach Ron Rivera talking about Tremaine Edmonds. Good stuff. Sal had an article about that up at WGR550.com if you want to go back and take a look at it. And we actually talked to him about that in yesterday's show. And we've been talking a little bit about Edmonds just from the standpoint of how he looks to have improved noticeably in year number two. And how exciting it is to see what this kid can do in this defense in year number two with Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott overseeing things once again. It is preseason game number two tonight for the Bills. 803-0550 to join us. Who or what is important to you beyond the obvious of nobody get hurt? David says decisiveness and accuracy from Allen, interior D-line penetration into the backfield consistency, the interior push will help us versus Tom Brady. Well, if you're looking for interior push, watch Ed Oliver. You know what? Tonight, do what I did last week. I really didn't... When the offense was on the field, I just kind of watched Cody Ford. Just watched him one-on-one. I didn't worry as much about what else was going on. I mean, you know, I know we're going to talk about Josh Allen come Monday morning, but watch Cody Ford and watch Ed Oliver. That's why I wanted to bring up Ed Oliver. You mentioned interior push. We'll see how he does tonight. I thought he did some nice things last week against the Colts. He was in a really difficult matchup. What may turn out to be one of his tougher matchups of the entire season. He went against Quentin Nelson. But he is definitely showing a lot of ability in terms of creating that interior push. He stayed in a little longer than the starters did last week. We'll see what happens tonight. The starters will play more, I would assume, than what they did last week. And Ed Oliver is a guy you should actually just watch. Just key on him. Watch his one-on-one work when he's out there with the starters on defense. And he will be tonight. That's one of the many things to watch tonight. Who or what is important for you tonight in preseason game number two? We're taking your calls on that. And whatever else on your mind this morning, maybe you watched a little preseason football last night. The Sabres announced they're going to the Royal Blue Jerseys. I'm sure that makes everybody happy. So you can talk about that. Whatever else at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. The wide receiver battle, I think, is really that. The offensive line continues to be a story. I'm going to assume that Feliciano is going to start at center tonight. He took the reps in the joint practices this week. So watch him because, you know, who knows what's going on with Mitch Morse. I have no idea when he's going to be back. So they might need to go with plan B at center. Watch Feliciano, and we'll find out whether Cody Ford is at guard, at tackle, or both, because we're not sure what Ty Nsekhe's status is for the game tonight.
Yeah, you know, you kind of joked, like, staying healthy is, that's obvious, right? But the Eagles have lost two quarterbacks in back-to-back games. Cody Kessler.
He's now in concussion protocol, apparently.
Yeah. And all that happened, you know, you say you can get hurt anywhere. All that happened was a missed blocking assignment. One mistake by somebody on the line during the preseason, and it's a free shot at his back, and he is out of the game in concussion protocol, and you just hope that that doesn't happen to Josh Allen. I mean, he's big. He's strong. Yeah. He can run away from guys. But one missed blocking assignment, and, man, your season can change.
You can't protect everybody, but I'm telling you, now, Doug Marrone again last night sat 27 guys. And it was 32, 33. The Jags played the Eagles last night. I don't have the rundown, but a number of those guys were key starters. And he's just decided this year to just rest a whole bunch of guys, not play a whole bunch of players. And, you know, Fitzgerald played last night for Arizona. I suppose maybe they want to play him because you got Kyler Murray out there and you want to help the kid. But honestly, I think I see more coaches. The Rams are playing. They're playing in Hawaii. I don't know who they're playing, but their exhibition game is in Hawaii. And Sean McVay is leaving a whole bunch of starters at home, including Jared Goff. So you're seeing more and more teams rest a whole bunch of guys. Marrone, probably to the extreme. You know, I mean, the Bills didn't play. How many starters would have skipped that last week's game? Half a dozen, maybe? Eight or so? It's a handful of guys on defense for sure. Marrone's at 27 guys. I think more coaches are going to swing towards not worrying as much about getting your starters in. Certainly veteran quarterbacks don't need to play. And resting as many guys or not playing as many guys as possible, because what's the point of getting somebody injured in a preseason game? So kudos to Doug Marrone, and we'll see what Sean McDermott's plan is tonight in terms of who he's going to sit. Right, Alex McCoy's going to play. I mean, I wouldn't think he gets more than a couple series, if that. Alexander didn't play last week. Hyde didn't play last week. Those guys would probably be back. But I'd be, you know, there's no need to play these veteran players. You can just have them sit out and they'll be ready for regular season action, because that is the number one concern for everyone. Nobody wants anyone getting hurt in these games. More and more coaches are showing why they need to reduce the schedule or lop it off completely and go to joint scrimmages and joint practices.
Would you like to see a pass interference review that works?
I haven't seen one yet. There have been two.
I've seen, right, I think there have probably been more than that.
I thought there were two in week one maybe that were overturned or something. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, I haven't seen it yet. I'm telling you, I thought they blew one last night in the Raiders-Cardinals game.
Of course, yeah.
I thought it was pass interference, but what the hell do I know? I mean, what do any of us know on pass interference?
Seeing it work would be helpful, I guess, right? You'd get a look at what they're trying to do.
Yeah, but you don't know.
We all kind of, I shouldn't say we all, but a lot of NFL fans expect it to be a mess. And last night, the Washington game, that's a mess. It makes it look worse. You've actually put in a system that makes things worse.
Well, that's the definition is, you watch that, I saw the Arizona game where there was a call that I thought should have been DPI and there wasn't. The definition is to overturn either a flag and take it back, or take a non-call and turn it into a penalty is what? Clear and obvious. You watched Washington last night. Did you think it was clear and obvious?
Yeah, defensive. Absolutely.
This is the problem with this discussion. New York didn't think it was clear and obvious. This is the issue with what, you know, your standard might be different than...
So New York does the ruling?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
New York
it's not the
final say.
You know...
I'm pretty sure we had... Oh, who the heck did we have on? We had one of the officials, former officials on the show. And between that and reading some comments about this, I'm pretty sure New York gets the final say. The referee's on the line with them. You know, he's wearing the headset. And they're all talking it through. But I think in terms of the actual final ruling of whether it's a overturn, that's the New York office that gets that. That's Al Riveron and the guys that are watching in the New York office. So how about that? You've got... The guy, the official on the field, does he throw the flag or not? You've got the referee on the headset. There is a booth guy at the stadium who's supposed to be involved in this too, and the New York office. That's four different components trying to figure out if they can all agree on one pass interference call or one non-call. It's just an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
But whatever, they go through it for a year. Maybe they won't do it next year. Maybe they think it didn't really make the difference they wanted it to make. Good luck. I as I told you, in a sick, twisted way, I hope it just burns up in flames for these guys so they realize they overdid it this time. They overstepped their bounds. It's like the offside challenge in hockey. I wish that would burn up in flames too, but whatever.
Not likely.
No, I'm pretty sure the NHL won't go back and change that. They're certainly not going to, you know, reverse the goalie interference rule, but whatever. To me, last night, I didn't see, I only watched about a quarter and a half. Mike Glennon, by the way, looked good last night for what it's worth, and it's worth nothing. I only watched about a quarter and a half. I don't know that there was a lower the helmet call, but last night, to me, the Arizona game was ridiculous because of the discussion about whether Kyler Murray was false starting when he was clapping too abruptly. This is where the NFL has gone these days.
I'm sending Brayton something because I want to play you a clip that explains a lot of preseason football to me. So hang on a second.
You want your explanation? Here it is. There's a flag on the play. 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 There's your explanation of preseason football. I should look up how many penalties were called last night in the Arizona-Oakland game, because the first quarter was just dog you know what, because they were just throwing flags all the time. Both quarterbacks looked bad. It was Kyler Murray against, Carr played one series, and I think he led a touchdown drive. It was just so hard to watch last night.
I did admit to you yesterday that I'm excited that games are on, that preseason games are on.
These aren't games.
What But it's, you know, I just watched a highlight of Lamar Jackson making moves, and that was kind of cool. And if Josh Allen throws a 62-yard touchdown pass today to Zay Jones, that'll be really cool. I know it doesn't really count, but I just – something about this time of year, maybe it's because I like the next season. And, you know, we get football in that. Like, maybe that's what I feel more than anything is seeing football is good.
I get that. I agree. Yeah, but then you watch some of this football and you realize it's not really football.
Right.
Or the guys that are playing aren't guys that are going to be playing in 3 weeks.
You know, you watch Washington and that Dwayne Haskins touchdown pass.
Yep.
They're pretty fired up about Dwayne Haskins right now, even though it doesn't mean he's going to be good. You just get that little bit of
The Christian
feeling.
Wade touchdown was cool.
Yes,
he's not
it
making
was.
The team, but
that
it's
was
a fun moment.
Was really cool.
It's a really fun moment for him. That's great.
And I think what Bills fans have in this preseason, instead of the usual, well, who's going to win the job, right? We did that last year. Why don't they just start Allen right away? We were, like I said, a year ago, we're talking about A.J. McCarron.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this preseason's got some fun to it. Bills fans, I think, get together and talk about how excited they are for the season. It's not a, hey, well, we'll see what happens kind of year. It's more of a, all right, you know, let's see the steps you've made. That's what it is. It's the Bills have made their moves, done their things, and this is a year of, all right, let's see your, not your finished product, but, you know, how much
better are you?
Exactly.
On the offensive side of the ball. We feel good about the defense. Actually, tonight, if you care about this stuff, it's a good test for the defense tonight. You know, Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel. I know I'm forgetting one of the other, who's the other
DJ,
big speaker?
DJ Moore.
That's a good set of offensive skill players that are on the field for the starters tonight, however long Carolina plays.
A little better than the Colts, who had all backups.
Yeah.
I mean, they played
Jacoby Brissett
that
and then
said,
went to Philip Walker.
They're not going to scheme for them.
Nope.
They're not spending, right?
No, but it's whatever. If you're trying to evaluate if the number one defense could be good, that is a good group of skill players they're facing tonight.
Yeah.
For what it's worth.
And if they give up 60, it doesn't matter.
I'm going to come in Monday and demand a resignation from Sean McDermott.
You're going to pick the Bills on Monday.
I am not picking
the Bills on Monday. So, anyway, all that said, you know, it's fun. The preseason is also this. There's a clip the Bills tweeted out yesterday from Peter Schrager talking about the Bills and what they've got this year. I want to play this for you because I saw this, and it's just, to me, this is another, it's a really good example of what the preseason and what all of this time of year exists for.
Throughout the whole NFL, we've done two AFC East teams, and I'm not done in that division because I think the Buffalo Bills have an argument
to make.
Buffalo Bills beefed up their running back room this offseason. We know about LeSean McCoy. They added Frank Gore. They drafted a guy in Devin Singletary who's tremendous. T.J. Yeldon's in the building. All these guys have had success in the NFL. I mean, Singletary, they're calling Baby Bush because he played for Lane Kiffin at FAU. Reggie Bush played for Lane Kiffin at USC and used him a lot of the same ways. But you have all those names. And the guy that has me excited is probably someone who won't even make the 53. Let's just see the Christian Wade run one more time.
This is a player
from Europe, from Rugby World, and his first NFL touch. Remember the Player Pathway Program on Thursday night.
That's enough. That's enough of what I want. So, McCoy, Hall of Famer. Gore, Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
T.J. Yeldon's done stuff. Yeah. Devin Singletary, they're calling Baby Bush.
Baby Bush? Really? They're calling him Baby Bush?
Baby Bush.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
You remember Reggie Bush?
Well, not the Reggie Bush from here.
But, right. Peak Reggie.
Baby Bush here had what? The lowest rushing total ever for a running back in Bills history?
You know, he goes on to say that Devin Singletary could be the best rookie running back in the NFL this season. So, what is that? The preseason is a time to tell everybody, you're amazing.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't.
Now he's Reggie Bush.
I didn't know Baby Bush.
I like Devin Singletary. Impressive. He does make guys miss.
Yes,
Reggie Bush was.
He did win a Heisman.
Well, he returned
vacated
kicks.
It, but yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's
again the Reggie Bush pre-Bills.
Right. So I just think it's kind of funny and fun to point out. You know, you can't go too far. You work for the NFL Network. You can't go too far.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Dolphins this year? I got to be honest. I think this offensive line could be the best in league history. And then the Dolphins will tweet it at me like, oh, you know what? This guy's got a point.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of funny that it's hype season.
Well,
what this is. This is you get your hype man. If you're in WWE, you know this. Paul Heyman. The NFL preseason is Paul Heyman.
I love Paul Heyman.
Talking up the team.
My name is Paul. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going into my Paul Heyman impersonation. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Love Paul Heyman. You know, but you can also, I think you also have to be mindful of not going in the other direction. And like I said, like, you know, the discussion on SportsCenter about whether you should be panicking over Kyler Murray.
Right.
Come on, really? I mean, just, Right, whatever. I know you got to tease stuff and you got to make people watch, but holy moly, you're really going to overreact about the second game for a rookie quarterback in the preseason when Kyle Kingsbury isn't using the offense he's going to use in the regular season?
Right.
I mean, what? Just stop. You know, look in New York, the you know, go look at some of the stories coming out of the Jets today. I guarantee the Jets writers are writing about how Darnold looks like he's going to blow up in the Adam Gase offense. Because he's had two games, led a touchdown drive on his first drive in both games. He only had one drive last week against the Giants. I don't know if he played more than one drive against the Falcons. I'm guessing he did. But I'll bet you read the New York stuff today, and it's about how Darnold looks outstanding in the Gase offense. And if you want to go to an extreme, someone's going to suggest the Jets finally have the quarterback head coach combination that they haven't had since Namath and Weeb Eubanks. I'm going to have to look it up and see if anyone's pulling the Namath Weeb Eubanks analogy out today.
You might be alone there.
I already saw some of the Jets, the reporters that I follow were already tweeting about how Darnold looks really, really locked in the Gase offense.
I would say that we've talked about this a little bit before. Do you think Darnold is getting higher expectations than Allen? Because I do.
Yes, I think so, sure.
Darnold is expected to take a bigger step than Allen is expected to take. If you're talking about non-Bills and non-Jets people, can we take the other people that talk football and say, who do you expect?
I think those people probably all would have had a higher opinion of Darnold than Allen to begin with,
and they're probably still there for now.
Yeah, I would think so, yes. I think it's funny, I mean, because, you know, the Jets tried to do some things to improve their offense. Of course, they spent big on Le'Veon Bell. And they have of late tried to bolster the offensive line with a couple of in-camp signings. But I think most of those people probably had a higher ceiling for Sam Darnold than Josh Allen to begin with. And now they think he's going to hit it faster than Allen would. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Mark in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to call and comment about the NFL preseason. I know there's a lot of talk about it's not really football, and none of these guys are going to see the regular season. But I think that's the point. I mean, how many of us actually want to see these guys, you know, that are going to be on the 53-man roster take the field? Nobody, because everyone's worried about injuries. However, I do want to see the guys that won't. Practice squad guys, guys that might get picked up later.
Yeah.
There's no developmental league for the NFL. There's currently no other outlet other than the XFL getting started up. So where else are you going to see these guys play? That's what the preseason's about. That's what I think is important. Is it real football? No. But it's still football, and you still get a chance to see these guys play.
Yeah. If you're still awake in the second half.
I mean,
I'm not trying to be a jerk. I mean, if you're still awake in the second half to watch these guys.
What Mark's talking about is the Bills' first game had Chad Kelly and Tyree Jackson, and I wanted to see both of them play. And for this game tonight, I mean, Tyree Jackson does this for me for the rest of the Bills preseason.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, tonight it goes Allen for how long?
Tyree could still
quarter and a half, and then
maybe Tyree gets a whole half again, maybe a little bit less if Barkley comes out and plays a series in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Assuming Allen gets into the second. No, look, I'll bring up another name to the caller's point about watching young players. If Dawson Knox wasn't hurt, I'd be glued in watching him. I just told you last week, when the offense was on the field, I wasn't watching the offense. I was watching Cody Ford. And when the defense came out, I had like ISO cam, like my own individual ISO cam on Ed Oliver. I would have been watching Dawson Knox. I want to see Tommy Sweeney. You know, you're watching the wide receiver battle. You know, sure, you're keeping an eye on Beasley and Brown. Hey, these guys look really good. Beasley's developing great chemistry with Josh Allen. But what are you really digging in deep to watch? How does Ray McCloud look? Is Robert Foster really on the bubble? Isaiah McKenzie had a good game against the Colts. Has himself in the discussion now for maybe that sixth and final wide receiver spot. So, caller's right. I get it. You're watching the young guys. Devin Singletary last week. You know what Hyde and Poyer and Alexander and all these guys can do. So you're watching some of the newer faces to see what they can do. I get it, but it also can be really bad-looking football.
And the point also here is you mentioned—
And you worry about injuries. Everybody freaks out that anybody goes down, and you're like, oh, please get up.
But you mentioned all those guys on the bubble, and part of the, you know, you picking the Bills every week— What it drives home is that these tiny little movements, they don't swing you from 6 and 10 to 10 mm-hmm. and 6. Robert Foster or Ray McCloud showing out in the preseason, it doesn't move
for
the needle.
For other teams either. Look, Lamar Jackson has looked good, but I'm not going to tell you I'm picking the Ravens now to win the North.
No, exactly. That's the point. That the preseason doesn't really swing the needle too much. How many teams have an over-under, and then the preseason happens, and then that swings four games, unless it is because of a quarterback getting hurt.
Correct.
Even a running back holding out or getting hurt doesn't really move it too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the injuries would obviously change things significantly. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Who, comma, what? Or maybe it would be slash. Who slash what is important for you tonight in preseason game number two? Hey, don't forget, we're looking for your vote in our overhead, our Hamburg Overhead Door Ugliest Garage Door Contest. The finalists are in. You can take a look at the pictures and cast your vote, WGR550.com.
Two players lost for the season last night. Cardinals cornerback Robert Alford, most of the season, leg injury, could miss most of the season. And Ravens cornerback Tavon Young, disc issue, could cost him the season. Two more guys, year.
Yeah, that's... Right, that's what I'm saying. Just four games. You're just a nervous wreck waiting, hoping nobody gets injured. Cast your vote, WGR550.com, or you can text DOOR to 550-550, and we'll send you a link so you can vote on your phone. Message and data rates may apply. Your vote, by the way, when you do vote, does enter you for a chance to win a LiftMaster garage door opener. Text DOOR to 550-550 or vote at WGR550.com by August 18th in the Hamburg Overhead Door Ugliest Garage Door Contest.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Discipline group, we're just getting more and more and more disciplined as we go. It's just putting us in a better direction to win. You know, it's just giving us a chance.
That is Bills left tackle Deion Dawkins. The offensive line tonight, we'll see what it will look like for the number one offensive line anyway, because Ty Nsekhe on Wednesday took part in individuals but did not take part in team drills. There was no word on what possible ailment he might have.
We won't know that till after tonight's game.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
when's the next time somebody can be
not talking to the media before, right?
So crafty the way they do that, right? It happened on Wednesday.
Yeah,
and there's no media nobody's out in front practice to answer a question about it until after Friday's game.
Yeah, the coaches. Well, McDermott anyway meets with the media before practice or did. So we'll see if Nsekhe plays tonight. If he doesn't, I would expect that Cody Ford be at right tackle. Looks like Feliciano would be at center, and then Spencer Long could be the right guard. Spain and Dawkins look fairly set on the left side. Bills play Carolina tonight. It is a 7 o'clock game. We'll have it right here on WGR, where you can start it off at 4 o'clock with the pregame show. Tailgate right along while listening. 7 o'clock kick. Murph, Wood, Capaccio on the broadcast, and then afterwards talk about it with Joe DiBiase and Nate Geary on our postgame show. Kyler Murray got his second start for Arizona. Rough one last night, 3 of 8 for 12 yards in a game against the Raiders. Lamar Jackson looked good for the Ravens, 6 of 10, 58 yards. Sam Darnold had a good night for the Jets against Atlanta, 5 of 7, 46 yards in a TD. Dwayne Haskins hit a big 55-yard touchdown pass for Washington. And the XFL has signed its first player. It is Landry Jones. Yay. Baseball, Yankees got blown out by the Indians 19-5. The Mets beat Atlanta 10-8. The Polar Bear hit another one. The Bisons lost to...
That's Pete Alonso's name?
Polar Bear.
Why?
I don't know why. The Bisons... I got to look it up.
You're Mr. Pete Alonso. You don't know why? I'll look it up.
I don't have his shirt yet. I've got to go get a Pete Alonso shirt.
Should be runner-up of the Home Run Derby.
How Pete Alonso got his Polar Bear nickname. I got it. You finish headlines, I'll tell the story.
You're so hurtful. The Bisons lost to Toledo. Those two teams play tonight, 7:05, Friday Night Bash, Salem Field. The Sabres announced they're going Royal Blue in 2020-2021. They will announce today, they will reveal the third jersey for the upcoming season. Joe Thornton reportedly will be re-signing with the Sharks. And DeMarcus Cousins suffered a torn ACL while working out this week. He might miss the entire season for the Lakers. Your headlines brought to you by Smith Boys Marine Sales, your number one source for boating in Western New York.
Todd Frazier in spring training said to him, "You look like a big damn polar bear."
He is a big dude.
And he kind of stuck.
Got a big body.
So this is according to Pete Alonso. If any of you guys know Todd Frazier, he's a loudmouth from New Jersey. He tells it how it is, but I love that guy. He's a great teammate, quite the character. He's a clown. Definitely got it from him.
Polar bear.
So Todd Frazier just says, you look like a polar bear. They call him the polar bear.
Well, you got the home run derby winner, homeward last night to tie the NL record for most home runs by a rookie.
You know what's 39? Funny about this article? It says he was given the name by a fellow home run derby champion.
Todd Frazier won in Cincinnati, I think, hometown crowd.
What year was that?
That would be correct. 2016.
Todd Frazier won a home run derby in 2016.
Things that are
you
stupid
serious?
That you remember. Yes.
This is the bad news for
because it was in Cincinnati and he was with the Reds at the time.
The derby champion. I mean, so many of them are forgotten. Vlad Guerrero, I will never forget, though. That one, how could you forget it? He hit 91.
2015, by the way, was Todd Frazier's home run derby victory.
Okay. Joe Mauer.
Did you know that he used to play in the league, that he was in the Little League World Series?
I mean, Josh
Todd
Hamilton.
Frazier was?
Was he?
Yep, 1998.
Did he steal signs?
I saw that's a controversy right now. Kids are stealing signs
in the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
There's an app for stealing signs now.
An app?
Yeah. From what I heard. Like,
why is there an app for stealing signs?
You can track, you know, what signs are being given, like if he touches the nose or whatever, and
really?
Then it'll keep like a record or track record of like.
So someone on the dugout is like supposedly someone with the team would be on the phone relaying this information?
Which I think should be illegal at any level of baseball, but I guess so, sure.
Well, we're working towards robot umpires. Why not use more technology? Sorry. My bad.
Well, preseason game number 2, Bills-Panthers, 7 o'clock, catch the fever. How are you feeling about your Mets over there? Are things good?
I'm sorry, I was just looking at Twitter about the PI call, or the lack thereof, in the Washington game last night. Okay, it honestly, even looking at the tweet makes my head hurt anticipating what's going to happen with this season. The tweet tries to explain what you brought up. There was an offensive pass interference call.
Yes.
That looked like it was defensive pass interference. They had a challenge. They reviewed it and upheld the offensive pass interference. David tweeted in, the only explanation I come up with regarding the OPI in the Washington game. After getting the call, the replay officials in New York watched the play, upheld the decision, assuming the obvious DPI was called on the field. It wasn't.
No, of course. You're saying
you would be saying the officials in New York, the guys in New York, upheld the wrong call.
Right, which would be another way to get it wrong. If you think about that play, how many things they got wrong. One.
This is why my head hurts.
Offensive pass interference was wrong. Two. Lack of defensive pass interference was wrong.
And then
reviewing it, they got the offensive pass interference wrong and the defensive pass interference wrong. It was wrong 4 times on one play.
That's why this really hurts my head. Brayton, let's do some instant trivia. I need to clear the brain here, and we'll have some fun. You know, we brought this up yesterday, and I teased it and said we're going to go to do this for instant trivia today, and I wanted to wait for Brayton to come back and partake in said instant trivia. It's about coaches, NFL coaches. You brought up the Carolina Panthers yesterday and how they've had, 4 coaches in their history. Bill Belichick is going into his 20th season with the New England Patriots. That got me thinking about coaches who have coached with the same team for 10 or more years. So I went back to 2000 there, fellas, and there are 8 coaches. So this is either currently still coaching or did coach. Since 2000, 8 coaches had 10 or more years with the same team.
All right.
Name those 8 coaches. And I want exact years and overall record. Since 2000, 8 guys, 10 or more years, same team.
Okay, Bill Cowher. Does he count?
He doesn't count. He's pre-2000. However, as long as you're on the topic of
Mike Tomlin,
I thought he
would have overlapped and I would have gotten the points there. It's starting 2000?
Starting in 2000.
So no, yeah.
I didn't go back to overlappers.
Mike Tomlin.
Let's go with Sean Payton.
Sean Payton is correct. This is year 12 for him in Narlands.
Mike McCarthy.
Tomlin, by the way, is going into his 12th year with the Steelers. Mike McCarthy had 13 wonderfully coached years with the Green Bay Packers.
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis had 16 historical years with the Cincinnati Bengals. Did you know Marvin Lewis is the all-time winningest coach in Cincinnati Bengals history? I bet you didn't know that. Well, maybe you did.
Said Belichick, of course, or you said Belichick.
So you got 1, 2, 4, and 6.
We've named 5 people, though.
Yeah, whatever. You, so you're missing, right? You're missing one, two, three. No, actually, you named four.
Tomlin, Peyton, McCarthy, Lewis, and Belichick.
Well, Belichick doesn't count. He's set up the trivia.
Sorry.
There are eight other guys. You've named four of the other eight. 10-plus years.
Marty Schottenheimer. I don't know.
No, but it's a valiant attempt.
Hang on.
Okay, I was going to say.
How about...
I can give you some clues.
Is Andy Reid here?
Correct. Andy Reid had 13 years in Philadelphia.
How about Jason Garrett?
No.
Really? Oh.
Close. Hmm. I think maybe he's not at 10. I remember checking that.
We're missing two? Three.
Three more.
10 years with one team.
Tom Coughlin?
Tom Coughlin had 12 years with the New York Giants. Very good. So you're missing the bottom two on this list. 11 years. Well, actually, one guy does lap up over before 2000, but even since 2000 had double-digit years.
I've got a name that I'm going to put on the back burner unless I can think of somebody better.
Would you like a
How many of them
clue?
Are active?
I was just going to give you that for your mini clue.
Pete Carroll.
Not exactly. He is going into year 10 this year with Seattle.
That was a texter that got that wrong.
One guy is active.
John Harbaugh.
That's the active guy. He is 11 years with the Baltimore Ravens. You're missing one guy on this list who actually did overlap and go back to 1995 with this franchise. But even if you start from 2000, he still had 11 years in this century with this franchise.
So he was... He went from
1995 to 2011, and then he went and coached for another team and subsequently got fired from that team. Made one Super Bowl.
John Fox.
Nope. Lost the one Super Bowl. One of the more memorable final plays of the Super Bowl. Jeff Fisher with the Tennessee Titans.
Wow.
From actually Houston, began with the Houston Oilers, switched cities, and coached 11 years post 2000. So
you could have just
altogether.
Said 7-9, and that would have given it
Jeff,
away.
Jeff, 7-9. We're not going to have any more of that 7-9 crap this year, or whatever the line was, right? Hard Knocks? Did he say something like that on Hard Knocks?
Yeah. I'm not
so sure. I mentioned this yesterday, too, guys. So those are the franchises that have had, you know, 10-plus years. Since 2000, there are only four franchises in the NFL that have not had a coach make it to year five. The Bills are one of those. Cleveland, Miami, and Oakland. The Bills have had 10 coaches since 2000. Browns have had 11. The Dolphins have had 9. And the Oakland Raiders have had 11 coaches since the year 2000. So, good job. There's your instant trivia, boys. Well done. Nicely done. 803-0550 to join us. We're talking about who or what is important for you tonight beyond the obvious of no injuries in game number two for the Bills. James tweeted in, wide receiver battle. Going to watch Zay Jones, everybody thinks he's a lock. As of now, yes. But a few more drops, not so sure. Remember, he ran around. Yeah, okay. I think he's making the roster. I think there would be an overreaction to a drop last week. I think Zay Jones is safe. I think he's making this roster. I think if there's anybody that supposedly was safe and would be on the bubble, I think it would be Robert Foster. And you can throw him in the list with, but I still think he makes the roster too.
Well,
I think it's McKenzie McLeod you're talking about.
A couple more drops. There's also the point of, are they about to cut a second round pick after 2 years?
Their pick too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's their pick.
If you do that, you just open yourself up to, wow, you whiffed, and they're not about to do that.
Yeah,
instead, you give him more opportunities to catch more touchdowns so that by the end of his four-year stint, you look back and say, well, the guy's got, 17 touchdowns. He ends up as a decent pick, even if he has his drops.
He might drop down to the third option behind Brown and Beasley, or Beasley and Brown, whichever way you put it. But, I mean, to go to he's not making the top six, assuming they keep six, I don't think that's the case. And as I said, I think you'd have more of a discussion about Foster if you're looking for guys on the receiver bubble that you anticipated being here. Anyway, so that's what we're talking about. 803-0550 to join us. Let's give away some more Bison's tickets. Got some more four packs to give away for them tonight. It is a Friday night bash. Gorgeous weather to go to the ballpark. It's also hockey night at the ballpark tonight. So the Bisons will be wearing blue and gold jerseys. And there'll be Sabres alumni signing autographs from 6 to 7 tonight, including Andrew Peters from the Instigators. He's going to be on hand. So let's see if we can give away some four packs right now. 6449878. We're looking for two winners. You got to be able to pick up the tickets at our offices today here in Amherst between 9 and 3 when our office is open. Okay, 9 to 3 today. Got to be able to pick the tickets up because it is for tonight's game. So if you can do that, give it a shot. Caller 5, we'll get you a 4-pack. Caller 6, we'll get you a 4-pack. Minimum value of the prize, $56. General contest rules apply. 6449878 to try and win Bison's tickets for tonight's game.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Casey Mittelstadt to take a jump this year. You know, he's gone through now a whole year in the National Hockey League, has experienced a lot of different things. We're asking more from him, but it's also we want to make sure that we're surrounding him with talented players. And that's where, whether it's Sam Reinhart, Marcus Johansson, Jimmy Vesey, we know we're going to put good wingers with him, and it'll give him a better opportunity to have success. And that's the same thing we're trying to do with Risto.
Sabres GM Jason Bottrell.
You should say something now.
About...
anything.
Ristolainen?
No, just no. Anything. I got a whine.
I got a whine about a story I saw about the Patriots.
Okay.
So you ever see a headline you thought, okay, yeah, that's a good headline. What's the story about? And then the story disappointed you? Here's the headline I saw this morning. Pats player might have revealed key information. Okay. So here's the deal. Apparently there's I wouldn't even say a controversy, but one of the bigger stories going on in New England is who is calling the defensive plays this year for the Patriots. The Patriots had brought in Greg Schiano, but he resigned. You know, Brian Flores left for Miami. So the big, you know, who's calling the plays? And Bill Belichick won't answer the question. Daron Harmon, who is one of the Patriots players, was on a radio interview this week and was asked who's calling the plays. And he basically said, yeah, it's Gerard Mayo, our inside linebackers coach. So the big question is he in Chateau Bow Wow of Bill Belichick because he gave away this important information about who's calling the plays in New England? Really? This is a big story? It's not a big story. So Jared Mayo's calling the plays. Big freaking deal. Who cares? It's Belichick's defense anyway. Is it that big a secret? And they played it up like, key information. Like, key information to me is, hey, you know what? I heard Brady is done after this year. He already told Robert Kraft he's playing one more year and he's done. That would seem to be information I'd be well worth hearing. Not, oh my God, he slipped out and said, our linebackers coach is calling the plays. All right, Patriots are done. What do you got?
I'm going to give two things. One, the quote of the day to John Gruden.
Hell yeah, that was encouraging, and it was great to have him back.
This is about Antonio Brown.
You know, it's been a strange couple weeks with frostbite and the helmet grievance.
That's it. It's been a strange week, you know, with frostbite and the helmet grievance. That's
things you did not anticipate saying in a press conference.
That's a sentence that's never been put together before.
I'm going to guess that's true.
Frostbite and the helmet grievance?
Yeah.
What, cross-country skiing maybe so once?
They did cover it on Hard Knocks for what it's worth. They brought up Gruden talking about Brown a little bit on Hard Knocks, who, by the way, practiced before the game, like ran some routes before the game last night, might be practicing tomorrow. Did you see he went out and like did this plea for helmets? What is it, the shut helmet, whatever helmet he wants? He went on Instagram. People are sending him helmets now.
Well, I heard a really good point about Gruden here. And, you know, I think Gruden gets made fun of with, you know, good reason. He's a...
He's a little wacky.
A little bit.
Yep.
He's interesting.
He's been fun to watch on Hard Knocks, though.
But the point was that Gruden has done a very good job of sticking up for Antonio Brown here. Mm-hmm. You're the coach. You got to get that guy to play for you. So rather than be one of these coaches that mocks him in the media, mm-hmm. says you're furious at him, I think a little bit about Freddie Kitchens and Odell Beckham here. You know, like, you have the opportunity to just publicly support your guy, no matter how ridiculous he is, because you're going to need him on the field. So I heard it overnight. Whoever was making this point, it was a very good one. I wish I knew who it was. I just can't remember. And it was, you support him through this, you get to the regular season, you get any sort of strife in the regular season, you can say to him, I had your back.
Yeah.
Now it's your time to get my... And, you know, maybe that's a mistake, expecting that of Antonio Brown. But I think it's a fair point, and I think it's a good point to be made about coaches that are leaders of 53 mm-hmm. different people or 100 different people in training camp, that how do you reach individual ones? Maybe Gruden's not playing three-dimensional chess here, but I thought it was a fair point. Yeah, he has had Brown's back throughout this.
He's so important to their offense. And look, if the Raiders are going to have success this season, I think they'll be carried by their offense. Their defense was horrible last year. I know last night they were talking about it, how – They gave up more points than any Raiders team had ever given up in a single season. And they've made some changes, and they got a different defense coordinator in, I guess, or they brought in some speed. They're quicker. But they're going to be carried by their offense. You know, Derek Carr, Antonio Brown, and that offense is what would be the strength of the Raiders this season. So, yeah, maybe he's a diva. Maybe he's a maintenance guy. Who knows? But why get off to a rocky start with your star receiver in the summer? When, quite honestly, sure, the reps would be nice. I don't know.
Sure. And the receiver
freaking out because Antonio Brown hasn't been there.
And the receiver is bringing it on himself, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of times we'll hear people say, you got to get that guy in line. Well, it might not ever work. What you got to get is touchdowns. And whatever it takes to get touchdowns from him is what's important.
Yeah, and if they're worried about Derek Carr, you know what helps Derek Carr? Antonio Brown. So, I you know, I'm not surprised. I like Gruden. I think, you know, he's a little bit wacky. The hard knock stuff has been entertaining. There's a mixture of him blowing up. But also being a nice guy and, you know, encouraging players and meeting family members and just like a really cool guy to hang out and watch football with. I didn't realize, you know what? I never knew that Sean McVay was on Gruden's staff in Tampa. They were, because they had the joint practice last week. So Hard Knocks focused on McVay. He was like, I can't use the term they called him, but he was kind of like an errand boy, so to speak, or something like that. Like he was like on the lowest possible rung in Tampa. And that's actually how he got his start in football, out of Miami of Ohio, where he played. He ends up working on Gruden's staff and just kind of doing whatever you need him to do. And it was, I didn't know that. It was kind of interesting to see that Gruden and McVay hooked up last week before their game. Anyway.
Well, one other thing I have to whine about. I have a golf line for you. And I know you love to hear me whine about golf. It's not really a whine, just an observance or observation. So the start of the season, it was super wet. Right? May was rain. Nothing but rain.
And part of June, too, I think, right?
Yeah, right, right. Pretty much right up to the first day of summer, it was kind of bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first half of the month, we had like crazy
all
wet
rain.
Numbers. Yeah.
Everything was wet. You couldn't golf anywhere. You couldn't drive carts. You couldn't do anything because it was just so sloppy wet. Well, now it's too dry.
Yeah.
Now it's too dry.
Everything's brown.
Yeah, and courses are probably having a tough time keeping their courses watered because it hasn't rained that much. It's been really hot out. And the result is helping your golf game in some spots and hurting in others. When it was too wet, you know, the greens were receptive. Yeah. Now,
ball's just kind of
shooting. It's like, depending on your course, but a lot of them, it's like hitting to a trampoline.
Yeah, it's just rolling.
They're just rock hard. You hit a ball into a green, yeah. Boing, you're off the back and...
So you can do only so much watering and everything.
So again,
to keep
I'm good
soft.
At golf. It's the weather that's not
sure.
cooperating.
Sure, yeah. It's not your game.
But right.
It's the course's issue.
I spent a month getting ready to wet conditions, and yeah, that's what it is.
You know, I can't tell you the last time I cut the grass.
Yeah, right?
A month? I feel like I use the snow thrower more in the winter than I'm using the lawnmower this summer. It's got to be at least a month since it's not growing. There's nothing to cut. Sal's going to join us next from Charlotte as we get you ready for tonight's game against the Carolina Panthers, which you'll hear on WGR. 4 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock kick, post game to follow. That's the plan. Bills preseason games on WGR presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. And by Country Suite, it is all about the sauce.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.